Hey, it's so good to welcome you to Fields Church Online, and we are so pleased that you've tuned in for this message. No matter what's going on in your world right now, we pray that you come away feeling encouraged by this message.
I don't know where Adrian's going. I don't know whether this suitcase is for me, and he's brought me a holiday overseas somewhere. So I think I'll be disappointed if that's not for me, and we're not jetting off to somewhere like Spain or somewhere like that. Well, he's ready and packed to go. Come on, Andrew, I want to pray for you. That's right. Let me pray for you, Brew. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for our elder, Adrian. Thank you for the gift and the call of God on his life to sow into the kingdom the word of life. I thank you for your anointing that comes upon him as teacher to share a message about heaven, the destination of heaven, and are we ready to get there? And Father, I thank you as he speaks today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are the true teacher. I thank you that you take his words that are your words, really, to just touch every heart and mind today, bringing hope of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Switched on? Hey, even better. So I was going to say, it's really, really good for the first time in 22 years to be speaking in a town that's in the Premiership. Okay? So my grandson, we had the grandson, a couple of grandchildren watching the TV yesterday at 12:30. Okay, and my grandson is trying to understand the concept that Ipswich can play with the big boys. Okay, so he doesn't believe that Ipswich will play Man United and Liverpool and all the other. So as this game was going on, we were sort of saying to him, we're going to be in the Premier League. And he said, really? Really, we're going to be in the Premier League? We're going to be playing the big boys? We're going to be playing Liverpool and Manchester United? Sorry, Richard?
That's my team, Liverpool.
Excuse me? Sorry, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Yeah, we had a little problem, I have to say, in the WhatsApp group, because we have a family WhatsApp group, and we have a few people over the border in Norfolk.
Oh, no.
And so there was a little bit of an issue where obviously we wanted a certain thing to happen and they wanted a certain thing to happen. Well, the trouble is, I have to be honest, we didn't wish them well. Now, that could be a problem, couldn't it? So we can talk about that later. But anyway, it was great to see our grandson. At the end of the game, he said, I will now support Ipswich. So we had a complete turnaround. He now believes. He now has faith because he's seen them play. He watched them play yesterday. And he now knows they've been promoted. So they're on the other side. They're in the next division. So that's great, isn't it? We can have our concepts, our preconceptions. They could all be changed, can't it, when we see certain things happen. And in his lifetime, he's never known Ipswich to be in that league. Now he does. So now everything's changed. So I am preaching for the first time in Premier Ipswich town. And we're not just going up, we are up. Okay, so where does that leave us? Dom, I need Dom's help for this. If you could come up, please. Okay, thank you. Okay, now I have my case here. Now this is an incredibly heavy case, so I know that you're strong, and you understand about health and safety, and about bending knees and all that sort of thing. Good man. Okay, so this guy, I wondered if you could lift it on the stage for me, because obviously it's got my lifetime of packing that I've done in it, so I need it on the stage, if you wouldn't mind. Ah, you made that look easy. Hey, you are super strong. Thanks. So, thank you very much. You can sit. I didn't want to try and do that because I thought I might hurt myself, okay? But okay, so there's a T-shirt up there because I wasn't sure whether to pack the blue or the red one. So I've put that on there just to get a bit of a feeling. But have you ever played that game? I packed my case and then I put...
Yeah.
The children love playing that round the table. I packed my case and then I put... You haven't played it?
No.
Okay, we're going to be doing that afterwards. Okay. Okay. Can I just ask you to stand for a few moments? God's presence is here. His Holy Spirit is amongst us. Let's just bow our hearts. Father, we just pray now that you will speak to us through your words. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll draw near. You know the things that we need to hear this morning. And Father, I pray that in Jesus' precious name, that you will just draw near to us as we seek to draw near to you. Speak to us. You know exactly where we are. You know the things that are going on in our lives and hearts right now. Father, bring your word. Bring a word in season. Father, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So over the last few weeks, Richard has been teaching into the authority of God's word, looking at the Christian and the way we are empowered to live and to move, knowing God's help and authority in our lives. We've tried to grasp that we have authority to using his word, and his word is powerful and life-changing. And Andrew now is in the middle of teaching us the power of a thankful heart. Learning to give thanks in all things. Stop the moaning. Running people down. But rather to give thanks. Turn our attitude upside down. And I love it as Rainey mentioned last week. I won't get this right. But she was talking about our attitude. And our altitude needs to be Godwards. And we need to check the things that are in our lives and coming in to our lives day by day. Over the past few weeks and months, and just recently, I have been praying and thinking, what can I bring this Sunday? And God has put eternity in my heart. Do you know, as a family this year, we have lost 3 dear people who love the Lord, but they have now left these shores and they have gone over to their eternal home. Ursula's dad and 2 of my dad's sisters who went home just in the last few weeks, within 3 weeks of each other. One of my dad's sisters was 100 and the other one was 93. But you know, as their health failed, they longed for their eternal home. Wow. And you know, it set me thinking, what am I longing for? What am I packing my case for and with? You see, eternity is set in our hearts. Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And you know, when I was growing up, I was brought up by Christian parents and in the Christian family. But you know, as I was growing up, I remember thinking to myself, when I was in my teens, is this it? Is this it? Is this what life is all about? I've heard them talking about Jesus Christ. I've heard them talking about he died on the cross. And I had a picture of what the Word of God had in it. But I felt empty. I felt that I needed to make a decision. I needed to decide something for myself. And I was concerned about eternity, because eternity was in my heart. And I thought, what's the point? What is the point if I'm going to live for 50, 60, 25, 100 years, and it's all for no reason? No reason at all. What's the point of it all? And I can remember vividly thinking and trying to work it out. Because I thought to myself, and I said to myself, I don't want to live if there's no point. I can't understand what the point is. What is the point of my life? What is the point of me living if when I die, that's the end of it all? Full stop. And I've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I began to piece some things together. But you know, I had no rest. And I was unsettled until I decided to follow Jesus Christ. Because you see, I needed hope in my life. I needed direction and I needed purpose. I didn't want to live just aimlessly going through life, hoping for whatever it was. And then when I die, that's the end of it. I couldn't imagine what it was to live and then die. What was the point? I needed hope. I needed a future. And I found that in Jesus Christ. He gave me a direction and he gave me a purpose for my life. And I needed that. I needed that. I didn't want to live any other way. Do you know that the Word of God in the New Testament talks 199 times about eternity and the things of heaven? Did you know that? Jesus spoke about these things because it's important, because he wants us to know where the future is and what the future is. So when I'm packing for heaven, I really am. I have my destination in sight and I know where I'm going. So today, if anything happens, I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with him. And you know, with that truth, I live today. Because that gives my life meaning and focus. Without that truth in my life, I don't know what the point is. I wouldn't want to live, because there doesn't seem to be any purpose or reason. So for these few moments, I guess I'm going to be talking to Christians, those who have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and thanked him for taking the punishment for their sins committed, and recognizing that Jesus has made peace with God. But as we look into these things, I want you to ask yourself, why? Why do these things matter? Why does Jesus Christ talk into them? Why did Jesus want his disciples to know about the future? Have you realized that most verses have an eternity aspect to them? Because God knows how important it is for us. And you know what? I would talk to them and their bodies were beginning to fail. And you know what they said? They said to me, "We're tired. And we want to go home." Wow. And I thought about that. I thought, you want to go home? So you've had enough of this life and you want to go home? What does that mean? What does it mean to go home? What does it mean for you or to me to go home? You see, God wants us to know that the future is secure. It's okay. There's lots of stuff which goes on here, isn't there? Did you ever sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through"? Anybody know that song? I'm not going to sing it. But it was a song, and I can remember we used to sing it. "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Philippians 3, verse 20 says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven." Okay, so if you're a Christian, if you've accepted and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you're not a citizen of Ipswich, you're a citizen of heaven. You're passing through. Your destination is heaven, and you're a citizen of heaven. Okay? We need to understand that. But I ask myself, what am I packing in my case ready for heaven? What am I packing in my case? What am I? This is the whole of my life. This is the life that I'm living today. And I want to ask, what are you packing in your case? Let's do a little quiz. Let's see how intelligent we are all this morning. Okay, so based on 2020 figures, what is the average lifespan of a man living today? How many years? 72. Any advance on 72? 75. 82. Good. Okay. It's 79. Wow. That was in 2020. It might have gone up a week, but 2020. Okay. For a lady, how long? 80. 80? 84. Very. 90. Wow. 83. What about if you were living in Brazil? What if you were living in Brazil for a man? How old?
50.
No. 66. Higher? They're good at football, but 69 for a lady, how old? 76. If you were born in Chad, how old for a man? Slightly higher. 50. How about the ladies? 55, spot on. Yeah. The other interesting thing is in the UK, people aged 65 would be expected to live how many years into their retirements? How many years?
12 years.
12 years? Higher? 20. Yeah, about 20 years. About 20 years. If you're a lady? 22. Slightly higher. Don't know what you're going to do with those extra years, ladies. But you need to make it count.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because we're looking ahead and we're looking at our lives. But recently, I was sitting by the bedside of my aunties, and we sat at the bedside of Ursula's father as he was nearing eternity. And I wonder at those moments, what's important? And you know, what was important was their destination. You see, because as their bodies were beginning to fail, their hope was in heaven. And our hope was going to be with Jesus Christ. So what's your case full of? So the years that you've, however many years you've lived, what have you been packing in your case? I just want to ask you honestly this morning. Okay, what's your case full of? Broken promises. Dreams unfulfilled. Career in tatters. Prayers that lie unanswered. Children. Career. Money. Hopes. Dreams. Maybe they're full of prayers that have been answered. They're full of joys and sorrows. Days at school, days at university, days of being married, days of enjoying friendships. Full of sickness and pain. You see, as we walk through life, we put in our cases, our lives are made up of situations that we face, aren't they? Situations that we live in. Circumstances that we live in. People that come into our lives, that we impact them and then they may move out of our lives. But our cases are full of our history, the things that make up our experiences, that shape the kind of person that you are today. The experiences that are shaping your future for tomorrow. But are you living, as we live, in the shadow of eternity? How is Jesus Christ? How is God's word? How is the fact that I'm a Christian and I've given my life to Jesus Christ? How is that making itself known in my life today? What are we doing? What are we doing? Do you know, can I take you to heaven for a moment? So let's wind forward. Let's wind forward. The destination is heaven. We've arrived in heaven. We're here. You're a Christian, you've lived the whole of your life trying to please God and doing the right thing. So let's just spend a few moments in heaven, if you don't mind, okay? So close your eyes. Close your eyes. What can you see? Do you know, in Genesis 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He did. And the heavens in the Hebrew means is the dwelling place of God and heavenly beings according to what the Bible says. So you're in heaven. And God's presence fills the place. It has an incredible energy and vibe. Do you know in John 14 it says, in my Father's house, and there will be a slide. You can't open your eyes at the moment. But in my Father's house are many rooms, John 14. And Jesus is saying, if I am going away, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. It's personal. You've got a personal space, a personal place in heaven that the God of the universe has prepared just for you. Can you imagine it this morning? A God who loves you, a God who cares about you, knows you intimately, has prepared a place for you. Wow. Do you know Revelation 21 verse 4 says this? God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Wow. No more death. No more mourning. No more crying. No pain. The older of things has passed away. Imagine this. This place. There is no pain here. There's no sorrow here. There are no tears here. But the presence of God fills this place. And you're here. You're secure. You're safe in the presence of Almighty God. Wow. Do you know 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says this? What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. You can't begin to understand what God's got for you. Do you know, I can remember being in Canada and I had the privilege of going up into the mountains, into the Rockies. And I remember looking down at Lake Louisa, I think it was. And it was an incredible moving sight. It was awesome. It was incredible. My God made that. It took my breath away. What about heaven? We can't even conceive, can't even imagine what God's got in store for us. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. We're going to have a new body, no restrictions. I like to think I can fly. Wow. We can't even imagine what heaven would be like. We know the rules on this earth. But God's going to make new rules. We know all about gravity and things need to, if you let go, they go down. God's going to create a whole new set of rules beyond our wildest dreams. Praising and worship 24/7. The praise will never stop. Heaven will be filled with the praise of God. Wow. What a place. No evil thoughts. No harsh words. No nonsense. No thinking twice about things or worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. But you're safe, you're secure, and God is here. That's our destination. And I wanted you to grasp this morning as you sit there that the future is safe, the future is secure. Jesus Christ said it, and He wants you to know it and to live in the light of it, that eternity is secure. However rough it gets down here, nobody can take eternity away from you. You're safe in Jesus Christ. That's a big truth. That's a big truth, and we need to hold that in our hands. Whatever is going on down here, whatever the news headlines say, the future is secure in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says this, doesn't He? Do you remember what John 3:16 says? Do you remember what that verse says? That's it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth. See, God, he wants you to know that. Wow. You see, it's important. Jesus Christ is teaching the disciples and He's saying to them, listen, I know eternity is an important subject for you guys. I know that you're all wondering what happens after this life. And we do, don't we? We need to know that the future is okay. And the future is okay because it's in Him. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, it's okay. If you believe in Me, you won't perish, but you will have eternal life. It's important. You need to grasp hold of that and hold on to it tight, because throughout your lives, no matter what happens, hold on to that truth. You see, that truth, if you grab hold of it, will impact your today. It will. It will impact you today, because when you hold a big truth, it changes the way that you think. It changes the way that you walk. It changes the way that you make decisions, because you know the future is secure. It's going to be okay. It really is. It may seem pretty tough at times, and it may weigh heavily on our hearts, but the future is safe. So I believe that Jesus Christ wants you to know this morning that if your faith is in Him, if your belief is in Him, then eternity is yours. You're safe. Your destination is heaven. There's only two destinations that you can have, and one leads to the road of destruction, and one leads to life. We need to remember that, don't we? We need to remember the road that we're traveling. The destination is heaven, and we need to be living as Christians in the sight of God, in this generation, in this world today. He needs us to be strong for Him. So have you sorted out that reality in your life? Why on earth am I talking about heaven? It is because I believe that if we have a right view of heaven, it will help us with our today. It's a heaven reality. So if you are a Christian this morning, your destination is secure, you are safe in Jesus Christ, your future is all okay, then we need to live in the light of that. We need to hold on to that. A couple of little stories. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we're going to read this. Now, we're going to be introduced to a character called Hezekiah. Hezekiah, now he was a king of Judah, one of the tribes of Israel. He became a king at 25. He reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as David did. And God was with him. God gave him victories over his enemies, if we read 2 Kings and 18. But he got sick. He got sick, and the prophet Isaiah went to him. And so we read. And we're just going to read these verses. Just listen to them and let them soak into you this morning. These words. Hezekiah was a king. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. Not good. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." Great. What a doom merchant. Imagine that happening. Imagine that happening if you're ill. If you're ill, you feel very down, life is ticking away, and a prophet of God comes into you and says to you, "This is what God says, put your house in order." Wow. Put your house in order. I wonder what God's saying to me. Do you know sometimes we do things at the last hour, don't we? We wait. We wait till we act. And I wonder if God is saying to us, if you need to do something, if you need to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ that's near and dear to you, then you need to put your house in order. You need to go and tell them. Do you know, sometimes we're packing up things, aren't we? Packing up, and we've got our to-do list in there. And we've got all sorts of to-do lists. We've got all sorts of things that we want to do if we get round to it. Well, what if God suddenly said, "Hey, you've got a week. You've got a week. Okay with you? Then you're coming home. You've got a week. What do you want to do? How are you going to live for that week? What are you going to do? What conversations are you going to have?" But bear in mind, you don't feel great, because you're going to die. So you're not feeling very robust. So the things that you probably wanted to do, you can't do anyway. Time's gone. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, how I have walked with you before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." Hezekiah wept bitterly. Bitterly. Do you know, I remember of my mum. My mum was nearly 80 years of age, and she was diagnosed with cancer. And my mum was given two options, quite a serious operation or a new treatment that would be in Liverpool. And I can remember as a family, we talked about it, and mum said that she wanted this new treatment, which would be in Liverpool. And I can remember to this day, my mum said, she had a really strong faith. She said, "If God gives me another 3 years, that will be great. That's all I would." We took my mum, and I can remember my mum saying it. And we took my mum to Liverpool on several occasions to have treatment. Do you know, she was only in Liverpool for about 15 minutes on those appointments. And then we would take her home. And do you know what my mum wanted to do on the way home? She wanted a KFC. My mum never had KFC, never had a takeaway. My mum, after having treatment, wanted a KFC. And I always remember that. But my mum's faith was real. Do you know what? God answered her prayers. And my mum lived till nearly 90. And God blessed her. And she was a really strong, faithful mum. She was the mum that I remembered as a young kid. I couldn't find her anywhere. We were four boisterous boys, so I expect mum had plenty of places to hide. Seemed a good idea. But I can remember trying to find my mum, and I may have told you this before, but I found my mum, knelt down beside her bed, praying. And I've never forgotten that. What are you packing in your case? How are you getting ready for eternity? What are you filling your life with? What are you filling your dreams with? What are visions and hopes and things that you really want to do for God? Poor old Hezekiah. He wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had left, so Isaiah went and delivered the words, and then he was leaving the court. So Isaiah had left the middle court. The word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life." Wow. Imagine the day. Imagine how Hezekiah is going to feel. God literally answered his prayers. Wow. That's an incredible, isn't it? So first of all, Isaiah's bringing the doom and gloom. And then God's saying to him, hang on a minute. I've heard Hezekiah's prayers. I've seen his bitter tears. And I want to give him 15 more years. Wow. What on earth are you going to do for 15 years? How do you think that illness and his life would be impacted from then on? I remember how my mum always sought to pray for us, always sought to build our faith up as children. But what do you do? I don't know how many years God's got for me. I don't know when I need to have my case right ready. If God says to you, "I'll give you 7 days, you've got until the end of the week and then you're getting on the plane." How are you going to live this rest of this week? How are you going to live the rest of this time? Do you know, my aunties wanted to make sure that at their funeral Thanksgiving services that the gospel message went forth. Because we still have many in the family that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and friends. And we're praying that God is going to intervene and interject in their lives and bring them to Him, so that they can be safe for eternity. It's real. Eternity is real. Heaven is real. There's a reality, there's a big truth that we need to grasp, because sometimes in the noise of this world, in the noise of the Ipswich celebrations, right in the middle of all of that, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth and the life. He's real. No one comes to the Father except through me, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He matters today more than any time. People need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and friend. What if we don't tell them? How will they hear?
Yeah, that's right.
God wants to use us. Isn't that incredible? Have you grasped hold of that? That God wants to use me. God wants to use you. We can all do something. God's blessed us with gifts. Don't you love the picture of the church?
Yes.
Body, yes. Moving together, hands and feet, knees. We need each other. I need you, and you need me, but I need you more. We need each other, because when one's down, the others can pick them up. When somebody's going through a difficult and a hard time, we can pray, we can... God has put the resources of heaven your way. You see, God is real. God is real. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Ursula had a text this morning, and one of our grandchildren is trying to write a book. He's only 12, 13, but he wants to write it with a Christian meaning, and he wanted to write a song. So he was asking Ursula about the theme of it this morning, and I thought, wow, what are we doing with our lives? I was going to talk about Paul, but we haven't got time this morning. But you know, God's word says, let me read it. Romans and chapter 5. I think it's actually on the last slide, isn't it? Verse 8, it says this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's grab hold of that. Let's hold tight to that. Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, went to the cross. Why? Because he loved you and me. He knew about your sin, and when he went to that cross, he paid the price for all of our sin and the sin that was to come. He took the punishment upon himself. Why? Because he loves you and me this morning. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Can you imagine how much God loves us this morning? Isn't that incredible? What an amazing thing. We're going to see a little clip, and it's a clip about Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an evangelist, and he died a few years ago, and it said that he probably spoke to more people and told them about the gospel of Jesus Christ than any other living person. But in his funeral day, they made this clip, and Billy Graham was speaking into it, concerning his own death. So we're just going to listen to this clip just for just a 2 or 3 minutes, but I just wanted to look at that clip. Let's just stand. God wants us to know our future, so we can live our present in the right way. And that's why God and Jesus Christ has sent so much and said so many words in the New Testament about eternity and our destination, because he wants us to be secure in the future. And he's done that so we will live today richly. So as we close our eyes, if you're a Christian and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your case for heaven. What are the things that you're investing your time and your energy with? Who are you praying for? Who are you asking God to bring into His kingdom? To open their eyes to see the truth of Jesus Christ. Do you need to realign some of the things that you've let in so that you can live a life pleasing to God? The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." But we're living today, and we need to be living for Jesus Christ. We will have a prayer team up here very shortly. If there are things that you want, you would like somebody to pray for, something that you know that you need to put right, something that God's Holy Spirit has been laying on your heart and mind this morning, then please come up and allow somebody to pray with you. Brothers and sisters together on a journey with a clear destination. But maybe you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and into your heart. Maybe you don't know the joy of sins forgiven. You don't understand what really life is all about. You have heard about the claims of Jesus Christ. You've read some of the Bible, but you've never asked the Savior of the world to be your Savior. And you're still standing outside watching. And God is speaking to you this morning and saying, "Will you come to me? Do you realize I died for you? Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for you. He loves you that much. And if you think you're living without Him, then your eyes are still closed to the truth. And when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and friend, your eyes will be open, spiritually alive to Him. Will you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? If that's you, then please come up to the front in a few moments and let's pray with you. So Father, I thank You for Your words. Thank You for what You did in Hezekiah's life. I thank You for what You're doing in our lives. I thank You for the many testimonies that have been given even this morning. I thank You that You are a great and awesome God. I thank You that You're not only interested in our todays, but You're interested in our tomorrows. You're interested and You love us in a way that we'll never understand or be able to grasp hold of. You paid help us for our sin. Thank You. Help us to live every day in a way that honors You, in a way that pleases You, in a way so that our destination is known by those around us. And Father, help us to be careful of what we're packing into our cases. Help us to be aware of all that we're doing, so that we do it in the light of eternity. So Father, just draw close to us now as we talk, as we share, as we pray together. In Jesus' precious name, thank You for this time. Amen. Amen. Yeah. The service is now closed. Feel free to come to the front. And if you'd like a drink or refreshments, then the cafe is open at the back. Thank you.